We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we're very glad to have you with us. And we're also very glad to have back on the program, once again, the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for a long time now, he's been here on the program. He's been a regular feature of the show on the first Wednesday. And we talk about food and cooking. And he picks some topic. It's divine inspiration. Someone stops by his house with a stone tablet with a topic on there. And so we talk about that thing, and we exchange tips and recipes and stories about cooking. And often the inspiration here is the time of the year. There are certain times of the year when you start thinking about certain things, and we're really into the summer now. So I'm sure that more and more people are thinking about cooking outdoors. Probably have been doing that for a while. There are some people who do it even in the dead of winter.
Oh, yes.
But for a lot of people, you know, when we get in the warmer time, they start thinking about cooking outside. And, you know, when we all grew up, I'm sure we had dads who cooked outside, or moms, or big brothers and sisters, or whatever. And maybe it was something really straightforward. Maybe it was a hamburger. Maybe it was a steak. Maybe it was something. Where you just put it on the grill and you just cooked it until it was done. Well, now more and more people are exploring all kinds of things that you can do to add flavor in various kinds of ways. So I think Doyle's idea was, well, he wanted to know people's outdoor cooking secrets, you know, whether you call that grilling or barbecuing, or whether you even make a distinction between the two. What sort of things do you do? Maybe you have a favorite homemade sauce you use. Maybe there's a secret blend of herbs and spices you like to use, or various kinds of techniques to get that whatever it is that you like to cook outside, to get that perfectly done. So that's what we're doing here. The numbers, as usual, 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. You can also send us an email if you would like. That is WILL-talk. will-talk@illinois.edu. So, is it just because it is grilling time and everybody seems to be talking about it? That's
yes. As I had mentioned before, absolutely every station that does a food channel is they're out smoking and grilling. And in fact, this is Grill Week. This is Grill Week on the Food Channel, and last week was the finish of the Best in Smoke. So it was all of the smoke barbecues and all that, and everyone. And but the thing that has interested me is that there are curious combinations. And one of my friends was listening and said, wow, that one that sounded Indian sounded awfully good. You know, where a mixture of turmeric and, turmeric and I think there was cardamom. No, cardamom was the one that made Guy Fieri crazy. He'd never heard of putting cardamom in one. But then this one was a lot of cumin and coriander and turmeric and asafoetida. And that was a rub. And I remember some time ago, well, it's been a while now, yes, when I would go see Barbara Cox in Cheyenne. She's a significant writer of cookbooks, and she was talking about rubs and mops, and I thought, what are you talking about? You know, because I come from the school of take a piece of meat and throw it on the grill and stand there and watch it burn, and it's not cooked on the inside, and so you throw the thing away anyway. And it was never exciting. It was never interesting. I never liked the taste of it. And then people who could produce an object, it always took so long, and they were just fussing over it like mother hens. And I thought, this is just not worth the effort. But I have changed my mind, and I keep finding these new things happening. I mean, new things are made available to us. You yourself said you prefer wood charcoal,
yeah, the natural
rather than the briquettes.
Yeah.
I'd known about briquettes not being what I really ever wanted, and then dump all that goop on it and fire it up, and all you've got is nothing. And I know that they're, and now somebody's chatting about, oh, well, you have to make your fire this way. And so you push all the coals to this side, and you have some over here and some over there, and you start out here, and you move. I say, how do you keep all this in your mind? I mean, whatever happened to throw it on? And, well, of course, it wasn't successful, or it wasn't pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
The success, I think, got it done. And I should have looked at Barbara's book on Western cooking. What'd the cowboys do, you know?
Those are the guys, I think they just threw it on the fire, and it was burned on the outside and raw on the inside, and they was cowboys, and they didn't care.
Oh, and not only that, but there's an ad, what is it, on the cranberry juice, Ocean Spray. He's out grilling, and he opens up his grill and hands him an absolutely black wiener.
Yes. Yes, it was funny. I used to joke about years and years and years ago. Occasionally we'd gather at the end of the week at somebody's house, and they would cook burgers and hot dogs. But the problem is that nobody was really paying attention to the grill. So
nope.
I used to joke
nope.
about his famous Cajun blackened hot dogs. And they were blackened because someone just put it on the grill and nobody bothered to pay any attention.
No bother to pay attention.
They came out looking kind of like the briquettes. I'm not sure anybody ever even ate them.
Well, I know there's some answers there, and I know that people have got them. So
okay,
I'm interested in the variations or even
yeah.
the failures.
All right. Teach us about barbecue. Give us your grilling secrets, and particularly if you have something good in the way of a marinade, a sauce, a rub, something like that. So one of those things that you put on the meat at some stage of cooking, and that adds a lot more flavor. So again, 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455.
And it doesn't have to be meat. There are vegetables and fruits. Last night somebody got a lot of kudos for having grilled some orange slices. I thought, well, all right,
mm-hmm.
but. That seemed to give them some points on chopped. So
grilled orange. I guess the only fruit grill that I've had is pineapple, which does really nice because it has all the sugar in it. It's if you're careful with it and you don't overdo it, it gets nicely caramelized. So that gives it a nice taste to it. My experience with grilling vegetables, we've talked about this before, is sort of mixed. I'm not exactly sure I quite have it. I have tried, and it seems like they get sort of overdone, and I don't know. I'm not happy with my vegetable grilling experience. But other things, I think I do okay. And I do really – it happened a couple of years ago. I think I started using what they call the natural lump charcoal.
Oh, yes.
This is not briquettes. And I think that I used it because somebody – called in and said that they were happy with it, or we talked about it, and it is now something that at the place where mostly we go to buy our groceries, it comes in a big bag, just
yeah.
like the briquettes
yeah.
do, and you have a lighting chimney, one of these metal cylinders.
Oh yes,
you roll up some newspaper and put it on the bottom. You put your charcoal on the top. You light the newspaper, and about 15 minutes, 20 minutes later. You're ready to go. And I like it very much. I think that initially it's much hotter, so you get a good sear if that's what you're looking for. And I always kind of wondered, well, what exactly did they use to, you know, briquettes are kind of like charcoal dust that they've glued together and made into that little lump.
Yeah.
And I always kind of wondered, and what exactly is in there? What have they used to? And then of course you have this wonderful petroleum based product that you pour on the top to get it to go. And I think I got to the point where I was kind of wondering about what's in all of these things, and am I possibly eating any of that? And is that really such a good thing? So
there is a mystery with charcoal briquettes. I'm trying to remember what the real mystery is. It was invented and manufactured by something like one of the car manufacturers.
It was Ford.
Was it Ford?
And it was because they had some wood left over, and they wanted to come up with some way to do something with it so they could have a product that they could sell. And I do believe that there was a guy named Kingsford.
Oh,
who had
okay.
something to do
okay.
with it.
Okay, probably.
And so,
probably
yes,
so that's
so
what
the,
it is.
The charcoal briquette, we can thank Mr.
Ford.
It's an invention. And again, it was because they had a lot of wood scraps, and they thought, well, hey, what can we? They didn't want to just throw them away. They thought, what can we do with this? We can make some money. Someone came up with that.
Well, I didn't think we'd be talking about cars, but Ford, also Mr. Ford. Early on with the Model T, would order his parts from certain companies, but he demanded that they ship them in a certain form with boards, in boxes that were a specific shape and design, and specific holes were in them, and they took them apart and used them for the floorboards of the car.
Very clever.
So recycling is very good.
Anyway.
Well,
back
to cooking.
Well, okay, now here's a question, because we just talked about this just for a second before we got going. You said that for a lot of people, the word barbecue, or whether that's one word or however, that and grilling are synonymous. They use those words interchangeably. And you said, well, actually, Those are really two different things.
Two different techniques.
So what is the difference?
You're not Australian.
Well, no.
Well, they throw it on the Barbie. I mean, they indeed use barbecue as grilling. Grilling is not covered. Barbecue is covered and becomes smoky, and concentrates the heat going in. The other is sort of heat that comes up. And so you're grilling, and the heat is on the bottom, and then the top is going to get cold. And if you put a cover over it, then you sort of surround the whole thing, and you're like kind of like roasting a whole thing. But smoking is getting the smoke. I mean, they're always talking about, oh, this one has a beautiful bark on it, you know, and the smoke ring is this much and that much. And so that's part of the finesse of doing barbecue. Well, you don't get that when you're grilling, and grilling is quicker, and it's simpler. But then there'll be somebody who learns how to cover it up, and somebody who learns how to put tea or wood chips into the charcoal underneath and put something on top, and it's been developing, and so I'm sort of curious about some of those changes.
All right. Well, again, we're looking for recipes or stories or tips. 333-9455 is the Champaign-Urbana number. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. So we'll pay for the call if it would be a long-distance call. That is 800-222-9455. And then there's also that email. If you'd like to email us, that's WILL-talk. Will talk, but you got to get the hyphen in there. WILLTALK@illinois.edu. And I think we're getting somebody lined up here to talk with on our line number one. Yes, right there. There's a caller on line number one in Urbana, I do believe, here, right here. Hello.
Hi. This has nothing whatever to do with barbecuing or grilling. recently, Doyle Moore was on your show talking about key lime pie.
Oh, boy.
And I have been looking on your website every day since for the recipe and do not find it. I have the ingredients, but I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must apologize. For a long time, we had somebody who was a volunteer who was putting the recipes on the website for us and putting significant amount of work in there, and I'm sorry to say, we just don't have anybody to do it anymore.
Okay.
So, but can you?
The recipe that I use for the key lime pie is very simple. Condensed sweetened milk.
I have all the ingredients.
Yes.
Okay.
And
but I don't know what you do.
What to do? Okay.
All right. Because the mixture of the pie is nothing more than the condensed milk and the lime juice.
Okay.
And those two are put together, and they sort of coagulate and firm up, and you don't have to add sugar, and there's no other spice you put in it. It's just those two things that go together, and that makes the pudding that you would use for the key lime pie. You don't have to put gelatin in it even.
Mm-hmm.
There are some.
But you did mention that.
It's just those two. I tell you what, have you bought the key lime juice?
I bought key limes right out of Schnucks.
Okay. All right, then sneak back to Schnucks.
I also have
the
juice.
And look on the top shelf, and there's a small bottle of key lime,
and it's got
a recipe on it.
Oh. Okay, so I went online, and what you just said is online, but you had also mentioned cream cheese. I don't know what to do with that.
Well,
or the gelatin.
There was one that used some cream cheese, and you know, I've changed even to that. I found that this new cooking cream is really, really wonderful. It's really nothing more than a refined cream cheese. It's a little tiny bit more expensive, but gee, the product is so good. It's called Philadelphia Cooking Cream.
Is it with the cream cheese?
It's right next to the cream cheese. It is a Philadelphia cream cheese product.
Okay.
And it's right next to it. And I'm just going to guess this. There are so many Italian inspired recipes with mascarpone. And I think that all of a sudden is that, well, if people are using that, then they want that kind of product. And this is very much like it. And I have been using it in two or three different ways. I just mixed it one night with mushrooms, and what a topping that was!
But what do you do with it for the key lime pie?
Just put it in it. Just put in probably
instead of the
probably
milk?
Including.
Oh my!
So it's all in. So it's a cheesier, creamier pudding than just the coagulated lime juice.
Okay, it sounds like I'm on my own here.
Well, you know what? You're not going to be wrong with whatever you put in. You'll begin to see that textures will fit your needs.
Okay.
I would certainly, yeah. I like working with that new cream,
mm-hmm.
and so I wouldn't be afraid to put that in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll like it.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be good.
All right.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
All right. Well, the recipes from past shows, I'm afraid what people are going to have to do is just go to the web archive and listen and get the recipes that way. There are a lot of past recipes that are still on the website from long time past. But unfortunately, we can't do that anymore. Now, sometimes if we do have something that's printed, if people will drop us a line, a postcard, then we can make a copy of something. But
yeah, I tried the recipes I have. I try to get printed so you can send out copies.
333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Our guest is the man we'd like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he has for a long time been here on the first Wednesday of every month in the 10 o'clock hour. We talk about food and cooking and often pick something that's seasonal. And now that we are really getting into summer, probably more and more people are going to be cooking outside. You don't want to get the kitchen all heated up. And this gives you both the advantage of taking the heat outside and also doing something that, with your grill that you can't do that inside. It's a completely different thing. And there are grill pans and stuff like that, but it's not, you know, it's not the same as cooking on that glowing piece of wood that you do on the outside. So maybe somebody out there has a good recipe or a technique, a trick, a tip, something like that that they could share with us.
Sure.
Because it is, because you do have to, there, it's not like cooking on top of the stove. It's not like cooking in the oven.
Nope.
It's a different, it's a much more dynamic sort of a thing.
And there always seems to be a certain sharing of it, because it's not what you do. You don't go out and barbecue for yourself. You know.
Well, I suppose
it's
that's
really
true.
Sharing is a great part of it.
It's kind of a for a lot of people, that's a party thing.
Yes.
It's just, you know, have people over and do that. Okay, well, let's talk with another caller here in Pontiac, line number 4. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, thanks a lot for that tip about the cream.
Oh.
I'll have to try that.
Oh, do try it. I just absolutely fell in love with it. I thought I would like it because I find working with cream cheese, oh, it's a little, of course, I don't do the right thing. You're supposed to take it out. You're supposed to let it rest at room temperature, and I don't do that. It comes right straight out of the ice box, and I'm going to use it. And I sit there and fight with it, you know, and finally get through with it. But this new cream is just wonderful.
Is it good for cheesecake?
I think it would be,
okay.
Except it might be a little thinner than you'd expect.
I'll experiment. Anyway, you were talking about key lime pie, and
yes.
I just have to tell you a childhood memory. You know how we have these memories. I would never put food coloring in my key lime pies because my grandmother
right.
never did.
Right.
She lived in Florida. We went to visit her. I used to go when I was young and growing up and went back in my early married years. And she served us key lime pie, and it was green. And I said, but Nana, you never color your key lime pie. And she says, I always color. Well, it turned out we're in Fort Lauderdale, and there's this wonderful bakery, La Solis Bakery. I hope it's still there. And the pies that my mother got from there were not colored, and that was my memory, but I had turned it around in my head.
Oh, yes.
And she used to send me a box of key limes every year because she had a tree.
Oh, that's a treat.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, they grow a lot in Florida, and they come from Mexico.
Yeah.
Originally.
Okay. And the key lime juice that you can buy, you know, at the store is great.
It's a great product.
And I actually make lemonade with lime, with the key lime, much more often. I think it's less sweet in a way. It's just got different flavors. So thanks.
It's a good product.
Listening.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. So now this, I guess, was it just last time this came up that we talked?
I'm not sure if it was last time or the time before.
Is it that they're just more acidic somehow, or is the flavor of the lime, the key lime?
Yeah, the flavor is a little bit different. It's not more or less anything. It's just a little tiny bit different flavor, and they're awfully good in gin and tonics, as a matter of fact. And they're not big. They're very tiny, and we are able to buy them here in town for fresh. So we're lucky.
Okay. Well, again, questions, comments, stories, recipes, what have you?
Maybe everybody is out grilling.
It could be a little early for that, but maybe they're working on their rubs, their pastes, their marinades, their
mops.
Sauces, their mops. Now, is that a special thing, or is that just another name for a sauce that you put on that you baste your thing with while it is cooking?
I think the mop is something that is slopped on it, mopped on it, after the cooking is done. There have been a lot of people talking about doing the basic grilling or smoking, and then you don't put anything on it until the very, very end, and then that's just for it to sort of heat up and kind of crust just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what because if you put things in with a lot of sugar, they'll burn.
Yes.
And so there's how you got the burn black stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. Now David Rocco did a Florentine They had a Florentine bifteca alla Fiorentino, I think it's called, and it's a 4-inch thick steak, and it's cooked 5 minutes on one side, 5 minutes on the other side, and then turned up on its edge and cooked for 15 minutes, and no sauces, no nothing, but you have to dry the meat for 28 days, which see is another one of those things that people are finding out even more and more. The drier that the meat is that you put somebody the other day was saying just leave it alone, just let the chicken sit there, don't worry about it. It's only going to be there for an hour, but it wants to dry, and so grilling. A dry meat is more productive than grilling a wet meat.
Now, is that now when people talk? It seems that I have this memory of people talking about beef being aged, and that was supposed to be good.
Aged steak
was supposed to be good. Now, is that what is
pretty much that's the same thing, because they're talking about air drying. Was the term that I had just heard, but I know that beef does want to hang, and that some of the best restaurants will buy certain cuts of beef and hang them in their cooler for a number of days. And I think you can even go over here to the beef house and you can get aged beef. But it what it does is it dries it out, and it's almost that same business as when you're smoking fish. I got so mad at somebody the other day because they were doing fish and they were going to cook it, and she got out a hair dryer, and did it with a hair dryer. Well, the people who were watching it were so upset and mad, and I thought, well, don't they know that that in order to do the fish correctly, you want this thing that is called a pericle, which is a dry skin on the fish. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant that she used a hair dryer because she got it done faster and it worked right. And they were appalled that it mixed two things that they weren't ready for. So drying of the meat, and I believe one of the people likes to make sure that they pat it dry with two or three paper towels to dry, make sure that everything is very dry. So that was another piece of information that I had not really gotten, and so there you are.
We are at our midpoint here, getting very close to the midpoint of the show. And the man with us here this morning is the guy that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and has been our great tradition and pleasure on this program for a long time for him to be here on the first Wednesday of the month to talk about food and cooking. We pick some kind of topic and just kick it around and tell stories and exchange recipes and cooking tips. And this time around, this is the first of June, so that means it's the first day of climatological summer. So we figure, what more summer thing could we be talking about than cooking outdoors? So we'll talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Brown Bag Deli in downtown Monticello. Brown Bag Deli offers freshly made casual lunches and dinners, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, and a wacky collection of unique cards and gifts. Brown Bag Deli encourages you to join them in supporting WILL.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. We're here 10 topics every week, 5 days a week, 10 topics, and we try to mix them up to put a lot of variety into the show. In the second hour today, we will talk with Seth Fletcher. He's a senior editor with Popular Science magazine, and we will talk about his book, Bottled Lightning, which is A lot of it is about the history of the effort to develop a good rechargeable battery, which is very closely connected with the effort to develop an electric car. Those two things really go together. And we'll review some of that history as we talk with him in the next hour. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we will look at the history of the Peace Corps, which is has just recently celebrated its 50th birthday. Our guest will be Stanley Meisler. He's former foreign and diplomatic correspondent for the LA Times and also served in the Peace Corps as the Deputy Director of the Office of Evaluation and Research. This was in the mid-1960s, and he's written A History of the Peace Corps, When the World Calls, is the title of his book. And then let me mention one more. Another of these programs that we do every month on Thursday in the 11 o'clock hour, we will talk with Peter Kimball. Celeste Quinn hosts the show. He works with U of I. He's a computer-assisted instructor specialist with the Center for Teaching Excellence, and this is the monthly show we do on computers. So this is your chance to, if you got some problem with your computer and you don't know how to solve it, or maybe you're thinking about buying one and you have some questions, that's what we do on these programs. So that will be tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. You can check up on schedule, find out what we'll be doing in the days ahead by going to our website. Also, that way you can listen to past programs you might have missed first time around. It's all at WILL.illinois.edu. This morning, in this hour, we're talking about food and cooking. We do it every month on the first Wednesday with Doyle Moore. And barbecuing, grilling outdoors, that's what we're doing here. You have a recipe, a tip, a suggestion, a question, any and all, welcome, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Good anywhere that you can hear us, and that's 800-222-9455. Here's a caller in Urbana. Line one. Hello.
Yeah. Hi. I got in earlier, but I haven't had time to call, but now I got the time. So you were talking about a rub when I got in, and I didn't get all of that in the rub.
Yes. There is one of the rubs was cumin and coriander, ground. Those are both, you can find those in the Indian markets. The ground coriander and ground cumin, and some turmeric, and then one particular person put in some cardamom, and that's a pretty rarefied taste, but it does complement. And I believe there was some cloves in that one, mm-hmm. And that was kind of an unusual rub because it sounds a little more Indian than it does, say South American or Mexican, mm-hmm. And it would be a very, very good taste because I'm finding that there is more and more use of coriander cumin. A lot of that, but part of that is just a growth in understanding how cumin has been used for a long time in Tex-Mex stuff. They just didn't know it was in there. But it's available to us, and we use it more. And the dry rubs, you use it to just cover and coat the meat and actually rub it into the surface. That one was appealing to us. I remember sort of listening to that, and a friend called me and said, "What about that?" Well, that's what it's about.
Well, I got a barbecue last year. And
oh, yes.
Thought, I'm going to try it the first time. I've never done this, so it's going to be an experience.
Well, I'm waiting for people to help you with that. Yes. But as I said, make sure it is dry, and slow and low is better than fast and burnt. So there is a technique in doing this where you do pile up the charcoal on one side and cook it very fast and very quickly, and then move it over to the other side and let it sort of seep and cook over there for the rest of the time. That seems to be one of the newer things that people are paying attention to, is to get a sear on it very fast and then let it cook slowly.
Right. So you
do the rest of it.
Kind of brown it.
Exactly. Yeah. That'll do it. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. And I think the thing with the rub is that you can, there are a lot of different things that you could put together depending on what kind of taste you're looking for. So
Yeah, you know, I always cringe because the first thing they almost always put in is salt.
Yes.
And I kind of cringe at that because I have to deal with no salt as best I can. And so there are other things you can use. Yeah. But it's generally salt, pepper, cumin. Those are the first three. Paprika, a smoky paprika. Everyone seems to be fond of smoky paprika. Then somebody wants to put in a little bit of cayenne. What are the other ones that are used? Onion powder, garlic powder. Some of them will even use dried parsley.
Mm-hmm.
Things like so. Actually, the mixtures are to your taste.
Sure. And you could end up with something that was kind of Mediterranean,
yes,
if you
exactly,
like, or
exactly.
Something that was sort of Southwest,
exactly,
if you would like, or something that had so some of those Indian tastes,
yes,
if you like those. So there's you could and
those are only the dry rubs. Those are the easy ones.
And then you can combine that. One of the things that I do is I do a flank steak, where it's a two-step process where you put. It's kind of like a paste. You put that on your steak, and you put it in the fridge and let it sit overnight. And then the next day, you combine some more wet ingredients for a more wet marinade.
Yes, yes.
And then you put the steak in that, and then you'd like to have that sit at least for a few hours, a couple hours, before then you put it on the grill and then grill it. You want to make sure that it's pretty rare. And so it's a fairly fast cooking thing.
I can see. Well, it's Wednesday night. I better get supper,
well, that's
supper ready for Sunday.
You do have to plan ahead. We got somebody calling here from the Peoria area on a cell phone, so we'll get them line four. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Wanted to check with the guest. One I've tried, and I'm just sort of experimenting with it, tandoori chicken.
Oh, my, yes.
Legs or thighs, and... I've had it in the restaurant, and it's a little different than it comes out on a grill with what I'm doing. It's a wet mixture that you leave set. It's yogurt-based for a day or two.
I see, yes.
And then I just do it slowly on the grill. It's not the same as the restaurant tandoori chicken.
Well, tandoori is done inside of a container that is producing the heat inside the container. But if you get the right spices on there, and what is that red spice that's used with tandoori?
I'm not sure. I buy the mix.
Oh, I see. Good. Okay.
Some of the Canadian stores have the Charwood's out of England mix. So
I see.
Just use that. But I didn't know if you had any suggestions on types of way to cook. I'm just cooking slowly over the grill, so...
Well, now this is an outdoor grill. I mean, a grill, and
yes.
You don't cover it up in smoke.
I do cover it.
Oh, you do cover it. Well, that would then you may want to find a way. I think that smoking the tandoori would be a good addition to the taste by putting in some chips and letting that smoke surround the tandoori, but.
That's a good idea. Okay.
That would give you another level of taste that I think you would enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You betcha.
Okay, thanks. I think definitely that what you'd be end up doing with this though, because it's kind of I think the tandoor, the thing you make tandoori chicken in, isn't
yes.
it like a kind of like a clay,
a huge clay pot,
and it's just really really hot.
And it's hot, and I think I'm trying to remember. No, that's naan that is mashed against the side of a tandoori
yeah.
stove.
And so it's not a direct, it's not direct.
No, it's indirect.
So
heat.
That's with your grill. That's why how you want to probably do it in this way, where you make your fire, but then you push the coals to the sides.
Yeah.
So that then you put your so the meat is not right over the
right.
heat. And then that's like where you want to use your kettle with that has the lid on there that ends up what it ends up doing is baking it.
Well, it's in an enclosed
yes.
environment. Yeah.
Yes. Because otherwise, if you with all that nice stuff that you put on the chicken to give it that flavor, if you put that over direct heat, it's just going to burn.
It's just going to burn
and
up.
You'll end up again with this thing that's burned on the outside and not cooked on
not
the inside.
Not cooked on the inside.
All right. Let's talk with somebody in Champaign here. Line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was looking for some things to cook on Memorial Day in my refrigerator, which is kind of empty. And I remembered that I'd seen someone cook an egg in a half of a green pepper on the grill.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
That was on, you know, some chef did it the week before. And I had some quarters of a big green pepper, and I just sprayed them with canola oil spray, you know, on the outside, put the egg in, and about 7 or 8 minutes in the Weber grill with the lid on, it was a perfect addition to my tray of everything I had found in the refrigerator.
And besides that, you got to cook the pepper as it cooked, gave a different taste to the pepper.
Yeah. And it'd be nice if there were a little more color, if you had some chili sauce or a spice on it. But for a first time, I would recommend it. It was good.
Well, hit it with a little bit of smoked paprika on the top, and it'll spark it up.
Yep. Have a good day.
Well, that's a neat neat thought. I couldn't imagine doing an egg, a grilled egg.
I guess you can almost do anything.
Well,
if you got your technique down, I seem to remember it now. Some years ago, I talked to a guy who wrote a cookbook about. Essentially, the cookbook was cooking everything. How you could cook just about anything on the grill.
Well, if you stop and think about it, that was the origin of you had a fire and you had some stuff, and so you had to make the stuff cooked, and so anything was cooked over a fire, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, questions again are welcome, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Wasn't it you who told me the story about years and years ago, some students that you had from Hawaii? made teriyaki and did it and just set up some bricks and some charcoal and made a fire and just that and the deal was that the meat was sliced so thin that they laid it out and in about as much time as it took to lay it out one time and then go back another time and turn it. It was
right.
Done. It cooked.
Of course, the rest of that story was that they did it on the 2nd of February. There were 2 inches of snow on the back of the porch, and they had the doors open and had lighted the fire in the fireplace, and the house was about 80 degrees inside. The back doors were open, and they were out there in shorts and flip-flops, and they were barbecuing. And I thought, you don't do that. Well, we do it all the time. Yes, but not on the 2nd of February.
That was the way that you were raised.
It's true. Well, yeah. But they do it all the time. Yep, that's what happened.
All right, let's go to Charleston, line 4. Hello.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I really like the kind of the charred flesh of like vegetables and meat, about anything. But somebody's told me repeatedly that that's actually a carcinogen.
Oh, you know,
where
dear.
It's kind of dark and flame-kissed, and it kind of has a different texture and taste. Can
if,
you talk about that?
If it is burned, yes. But some now I'm trying to figure out why smoke isn't a burn, but a smoke-covered piece of meat is different from a burned piece of meat, and it's the burned meat that is the carcinogen, and I've been waiting to have someone clarify. They've never talked about that. I think that you're asking a very interesting question because it makes me fearful myself, which is also probably one of the reasons that I slowed down on it. Everything I ended up with was burned, so I kind of quit doing that. For the reason that you're suggesting, but everyone is lauding the smoke and the bark as the best part of the meat, and I watch Guy Fieri just reach in and grab a big hunk of that browned surface and is eating it and loving it. I I'm just going to guess that the smoke isn't as much of a problem as the burnt, the actual burnt flesh. I don't have any authority. That's just my thoughts.
Well, thank you very much.
You betcha. Right,
thank you. On to Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I was wanting to ask a question because I, too, have to watch my sodium.
Yes.
And I was wondering about, you know, you'd mentioned before that Herbox.
Yes.
Yeah. I was wondering if you couldn't use that as a rub.
I think that would be probably pretty good because it is a powder.
And I thought maybe adding some cumin to that and
yes.
some curry.
Yes. That would give it a good flavor. Almost any of your dry herbs and including the leafy ones. I would kind of think Mediterranean would be a neat thing with oregano, but I would not make it in the dry rub. I would put olive oil. And so olive oil and lemon juice and oregano would make a magnificent rub. And that's what I put on Greek chicken anyway. Only I just splash it on. But to make a rub and rub it and then let it sit for a bit. I think that the secret is letting it sit.
Yeah, so, yeah, sometimes I'll put it in the refrigerator.
Yes.
Grab it and then put it in the refrigerator.
Yes.
And sit for a couple of hours, an hour or two at the most.
That's a very good thought, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. So, well, thank you for your tip about the Herbox. Now, is all the Herbox, I know the chicken and the beef, is it all low sodium?
There's no salt. There's no salt in that particular brand of that particular stuff.
Okay.
It's no salt.
Okay.
Salt free.
So you don't have to if it doesn't specifically say no MSG, it's still low sodium.
I think it says on the box no salt.
Oh, okay.
I think it's clearly salt free. I believe it's salt free.
Okay.
I think it's what it's called. So,
okay. It must have been on there, and I just missed
well,
it. I saw it on the beef one, but on the chicken one, I couldn't see it anywhere. But my eyes aren't that good, so maybe it was
well, check them out. They're there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Much.
Well, thanks. And I guess it's just important that, well, you know, depending on what your concerns are, you want to be reading packages. And
all the time.
There are lots of commercially available rubs now, but if that's you're concerned about sodium, now it's so easy to buy dried herbs and spices
yeah.
in bulk.
Yeah.
So you just figure out what it is you like, and you make up
and leave
your
out
own
the, and
leave out the salt.
Salt.
As there's no real
except
you don't
the
have
salt,
salt
has there. A function of penetrating the meat. I mean, it has a good function, but I think that you just will have to allow another function to happen is what it amounts to. Yeah.
So what now? We're coming down. We got a couple of minutes left. Somebody wants to call us. I'm sure we can get them in. So what is it now? What's the next thing that you're looking forward to making? What are you going to?
Well, let's see. I worked on an apple and blueberry pie the other day that was awfully good. Fresh blueberries and apples. I cooked the apples and then put the blueberries in with it, made a pie. That was one thing I did.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
I was pretty pleased with that. And I'm going to break my anti butternut squash. I've hated fighting with them. Butternut squash, they're hard to peel.
Yeah.
Except David Rocco peeled them zip zip zip. He had a big potato peeler and peeled them with a potato peeler fast. I thought, I've never thought of doing that. I've been trying to cut it off with a knife.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm going to play with some squashes and make some soups. Easy thing to do.
Somebody here did write an email. Was interested in your thoughts about ribs. I don't know if you eat much.
Ribs are a curious thing because they're the ribs used to be the only thing you ever you ever put on the grill or the barbecue. It used to be that that was it. All the other stuff just never really happened. Ribs, and that has been a peculiar. Some people will bake the ribs in an oven for a period of time, or even boil them for a period of time before they put them on the grill. And that is a possibility, but that what that is going to do is it's going to cook the ribs down inside. But of recent, I think that they've been doing these brines and wet marinades of the ribs. Everyone of recent is doing that. I haven't seen anybody who wants to boil them first.
Yeah.
But that is a real interesting point.
Well, this now reminds me. Just recently, I was visiting with one of my brothers-in-law, who's a big meat guy. He's a big carnivore, and he said that he actually liked to do ribs by taking them first and putting them into the crock pot. And I think basically what he does is he just fills it up with beer. I'm not sure what else
that'd
he uses.
That'd be all right.
Seasonings.
That would make a very moist atmosphere.
So then he cooks them in the crock pot,
uh-huh,
and then takes them out and then fairly briefly puts them on the grill with some sauce.
I think that's what you do with brats.
Don't you
boil brats in beer?
Yes.
And then put them on the grill too?
Yeah.
But they're just kind of crusted on the grill.
And I think I always figured that was just to try to pull some of the fat.
Well, of brats, yes. But
but
I think it's to cook the pieces next
just
to the bone.
Just to make sure.
On the...
Yes, just you make sure that you that way with the ribs that you're certain that everything's cooked.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's cooking in a moist environment, so they're going to stay nice and moist. They'll pick up some flavor that way, and then you can just right at the end you can do them on the grill thing, put some sauce in there, get a nice little browning. Don't burn it. A nice little browning on there. All right. I think we have one last caller here, and we'll try to be real quick here. Line one. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I just had one comment here. I usually parboil my country style ribs, and that works really well.
Uh-huh.
But I did try last year, the first time I did pulled pork, and I used Steve Rachlin's barbecue handbook. It's a dry rub, and then the Virginia vinegar sauce.
Oh, good.
Well, and you just, and it's pretty inexpensive. I got about a 10 pound pork shoulder bone in at Schnucks for like 99 cents a pound. And
yes.
I smoked it in my Weber for about 8 hours with hickory chips, and it came out excellent.
Oh, great. And then with that vinegar sauce on it.
Yeah, vinegar sauce. It was really, really good. My friend says I have to have a smoker, but I think it did real well with the Weber.
Well, the Weber will act as a smoker, but you could increase that, too, by throwing some wet chips in it.
That's what I did. I used wet chips.
Oh, well, then you created a smoker anyway.
That's right. And, it came out real good and smoked up the whole neighborhood all afternoon. It was worth it.
Good. So thank you very much.
Try that.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There we have to leave it this time around with the promise that next month, and I can't believe it's going to be July.
Oh.
We'll talk some more with first Wednesday of July, whenever that is, in the 10 o'clock hour. Doyle will be here, and we'll find something to talk about.
All well, right. Thank you, everybody, because you answered some questions.
All right.